Hi there, we really hope you enjoy this teaching from the Message Trust. To find out more about all the exciting things we're doing, check out our website, message.org.uk.
All right. So, if you've got your Bible or if you've got your phones on airplane mode, turn to Galatians chapter 1 and then verse 10. We'll have a look there in a moment. So Sam always asks me after the event, what's your title? So I'll tell you what the title is today, Sam. You don't even need to ask me. Man pleaser or God pleaser? Remember, Paul was being hit with those twin missiles, peace-robbing missiles of criticism and false teaching from within. You know, we can cope, can't we, I think, with a lot of persecution coming from without. It's hard. We don't want to be criticised or put down, but if people who are against us bring that stuff, well, perhaps we're not surprised. The hard thing is when it comes from within, isn't it? When it comes from within the church, when criticism comes from the church and false teachers rise up teaching something that's not in the Word of God, then that gets really hard. And that's what Paul was facing in this baby church in Galatia. And so, as I explained last couple of weeks, he lays out his credentials as this capital A apostle, foundational apostle. He's been given this special calling to lay the foundations, to teach the truth of the word. And he clearly states what the gospel is. Gospel that's summed up in three words. Grace, we've just sung about it. It's not about us. None of our efforts could ever earn our way back to God. It's all about his initiative, his grace. And it's a gospel of peace, that's the second word. And it's a gospel of rescue. If you like, the source of the gospel is grace. It's all about God. The substance of the gospel is peace. Peace in our hearts, peace with God, peace with our fellow man as a result. Sounds good, doesn't it? That's ours. That's the gift we received in Jesus. So now Paul in Galatians chapter 1 gets to the very heart of the issue and tackles the Judaizers and the religious posse who were trying to rob people of that. We're trying to remove that and give them some other gospel, a gospel that could never work. They were claiming that Paul was just a man pleaser and he'd come up with an easy peasy gospel. He'd carefully removed all the heavy burdens of do. And he'd tried to come up with this gospel of done. It's all done in Jesus. All you need to do is believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, give your life to Christ and you'll be saved once and for all. Now we fall into the trap to a lesser or greater extent of being man-pleasers. I certainly do. Every day. I remember when I was 19 years of age and this beautiful blonde girl called Michelle Jones joined our youth group. And I remember all going out to, you know, where one of our youth group had this amazing, the mum and dad had this amazing house in Alderley Edge with a swimming pool. And I remember us all going out to the swimming pool, Cheadle Youth Fellowship. And Michelle was there. So I put my trunks on, held my stomach in, looked as buff as possible. And in front of all the girls, and especially, you know, the one I really wanted to impress was Michelle. But, you know, the rest of the youth group, I wanted to look pretty cool. I did this athletic dive, first one into the swimming pool, you know, one of these backflip jobs. And I remember smacking my face on the bottom of the pool. And I'm under the water thinking, I can taste blood. And I never want to come up. And I really wanted to look cool. And I came up with all my chin bashed in and stumbled around. And, you know, it wasn't me. I was trying to be a man pleaser, trying to look cool. And it so often happens when you go down that route. I ended up flat on my face. But I still do it now, you know, nearly four decades later. Still, you know, at the end of talks, I'm a little bit like, is anybody going to say that was any good? You know, when the latest conference publicity comes out, you know, if my pitches are a little bit smaller than the other preachers, you know, inside I'm a bit like, what is that all about? Well, in Proverbs, it says these wise words. There's a lot of wise words in Proverbs. In Proverbs, it says this, the fear of man is a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord is safe. Last Thursday, you may know that there was a very, very wealthy businessman, one of the wealthiest people who've ever set his foot through those doors, and they're not a Christian. And so he came into my office, and nice guy, but, you know, within like about three sentences, he dropped a few F-bombs, which you don't get that often in Andy Hawthorne's office. So I thought, this isn't going to be an ordinary meeting. So, you know, and I could tell he wasn't, you know, he was a good man and done some good work and given money to charity, but he totally, within about three sentences, like, I don't get the Christian thing. You know, the Christian thing just doesn't touch me. So I'm like trying to communicate the message to this man in language that he may understand, and talking about outcomes and crime reduction and yes, talking about changed lives. We're not talking about Jesus. And then I made the mistake of setting off around the building and introducing him to various people, especially people next door, you know, and everybody was like, rah! And they were looking at me, this'll please you, won't it, Andy? This is all about Jesus, and Jesus has changed my life, and it's the Holy Spirit in this place. And I walked around the whole thing, and I went up to the missions team office. I thought, I'll keep him away from the missions. Perhaps I'll be safe with Emma. Respect me, I thought, he'll like that. And so I thought, yes, this is Emma, and she does these programs, and they're all about, you know, sexual health and texting and self-worth. And so just tell him what you do, Emma. Well, it's all about Jesus. It's all Christian-based. Let me tell you about this girl who became a Christian through Respect Me. And it was kind of like, you know, I'm trying to be the man-pleaser, and I was wrong, and they were right. And can we just be who we are? Because the fear of man is a snare. But he who trusts in the Lord is safe. Seeking man's approval is a trap. Paul resisted it for all he was worth. He was only seeking the approval of God. And what a place to be. You know, in the face of others saying, you've made it too easy to be saved, Paul, and wanting to put heavy burdens, heavy and painful burdens, for the guys, especially the heavy burden of circumcision, to be a true follower of God, you've got to be circumcised. Paul says this, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Verse 10. Or am I trying to please men? If I were trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. He says, I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. Basically, I got this from Jesus. This is the real deal. What a beautiful thing revelation is. I.e., the Holy Spirit works and we're in a totally different place in our understanding. Ordinary people can understand by the power of the Holy Spirit through revelation the extraordinary, powerful, life-changing, world-shaking truth of the gospel. Can I say, the Holy Spirit is doing that work right now. Because whenever we come under his word and we've prayed and we're keeping Jesus and his word central, the Spirit is doing a work in our hearts because the Spirit leads us into all truth. So just being here and every time we come under the word of God, stuff happens in our hearts. We start to get excited and enthusiastic and passionate about the gospel. If we're open to the Holy Spirit, it's revelation, it's a beautiful thing. But what's meant to be happening in every charity or every ministry is constant revelation. You see, something like The Message starts with innovation. Every church and every ministry that God's birthed on the earth starts with innovation. God helps some people and they discover his new thing. So if we're not too attentive to the word and we're not open to the Holy Spirit, quickly, revelation can become tradition. And it's happening all over the world. We have all kinds of traditions. We don't even spot them. We have a tradition at the moment, maybe it's a good tradition, that you go to church and you have 40 minutes of kind of rocking worship. And then you have the notices with the video and then the kids all go out. And then you have the offering. And then you have 40 minutes of teaching. And then you have ministry. Now, this is kind of our tradition, our cutting edge breakthrough, new thing that God's doing. If you're not careful, before you know it, that stuff can become boring and formulaic and out of date. It's happened right down the church. You know, this is the 500th anniversary this year of the Reformation. an amazing innovation through these radical guys who were prepared to be burnt at the stake rather than give up that we've got to bring the gospel into the language of the people. We've got to translate the scriptures out of Latin into street language, the King James version of the Bible that people can understand. We've got to preach truth from the word. We're all about the Bible. You know, these amazing men, and there's these religious guys who are all about indulgences and all about rituals and putting heavy burdens on all the stuff Paul dealt with. And the reformers are like, no, we're doing this new thing. And then tradition sets in because they were all burnt at the stake. And so 500 years later, there's lots of churches still using their books and their language and their King James version of the Bible. You know what the motto that the reformers had? Archbishop Cranmer and all the rest of them was, always reforming. It's a good motto. Every church, every ministry needs to be always reforming. Because we've got to go from innovation, and yes, good traditions can come in, but before it slips into man-made traditions, we've got a fresh revelation. That's why our touchstone scripture that we start with at the message is what? See, I'm doing a new thing. That's the Lord. The Lord is constantly doing new things on the earth, constantly bringing fresh revelation. Our thing is to perceive that revelation and run with it. How about this for a bit of revelation I got this week? Because I've often said, and I bet you've thought the same thing, wouldn't it be amazing to be with Jesus, you know, in the flesh, you know, feeding the 5,000 or whatever it is, or opening the blind eyes, or just preaching in a Sermon on the Mount. I mean, I've often said, how much would I give just to have sat there just for a day to see Jesus' ministry in the flesh? You know what I got? In some ways, this is better than that. Because those men, even the 12 who are gathered round him, the chosen disciples, didn't have the Holy Spirit in the way we do. Didn't have the Holy Spirit filling. That was poured out after Jesus' resurrection, wasn't it? They could not understand truth the way we can, by that constant revelation. If we do the work, if we get into the word, if we're prayed up, if we press in and God speaks things into our hearts. Do you understand what I'm saying? Of course, the revelation came to them later by the Spirit, but to actually be there, in some ways, being here is better. Do you believe it? Do you understand what I'm saying? And by his Spirit, God is going to speak things into your life if you'll just let him, and you're willing to be swift to obey and to proclaim it whenever you get the possibility to do that. This is better than that. Wow, what a thought that is, isn't it? I liked it anyway. See, there are truths to unearth in the Bible that will blow your minds, and you'll never be the same again. And you'll understand stuff. Simple, little, you and me. We understand the great truths of God, and we apply them to our lives, and everything changes. I'm really excited about June in the message. And Danielle is presently searching the internet, trying to find cheap, beautiful journals from China. And we're going to order a journal for everybody. And we're going to dig into a book for the whole of June. So not just every time we get together, we're going to work hard, we're going to dig, we're going to share, we're going to put extra time into the word. Because yes, we are a prayer-fueled ministry, but we're a word-driven ministry. And when I say that, you ought to get really excited about that. Wow, we're going to have this extra time as a ministry where together, as God's people, we're just going to press into his holy, living word, and things are going to change. Paul then goes on to explain that his gospel and his conversion are intertwined. That's why I love Amazing Grace. There's something about Amazing Grace, isn't there? Why is that the song that's been sung more than any in the last 150 years of church history? Why has that song spent more time on the UK singles chart than any other song apart from My Way? Did you know that? And it's kind of funny, isn't it, that the song that spent most time on the British singles chart is My Way by Frank Sinatra, and the song that's second most time on the British charts is Amazing Grace, because there's a choice, isn't it? We can either do it my way, we can do it rules way, we can try and earn our way to God or just go down our path, or we can fall on Amazing Grace. But there's something about this song still the song, still number one Christian song in the world, I think. You probably did a survey of God's people around the earth. You know what it is? Because it's gospel truth and conversion intertwined. It's John Newton, the wicked slave trader, who was blasted by grace and everything changed. And even the song, you know, the tune is a tune that slaves would sing as they travelled across the Atlantic. This terrible trade in human flesh. But John Newton redeemed it. Here we go. Here's what Paul says. Verse 13. For you've heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism way beyond many Jews of my own age and was extremely jealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not consult any man, nor did I go to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went immediately into Arabia and later returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter and stayed with him 15 days. Again, I love this. Paul went away for 3 years after his big moment on the road to Damascus, seeking the Lord and getting his head round what this new gospel was all about and just who this Saviour was that had exploded into his life. And he came out of the Arabian desert with, like, basically, if he can save me, he can save anybody. If he can save the worst of sinners, the terrorists, the church persecutor, all that doing stuff I've been involved in with the Pharisees will never work. Only God's initiative in Christ can save. See, religion, as it always does, had made him more and more bitter. But Jesus makes you better and better and better, doesn't he? One degree of glory to another. What a prize to go from the persecutor to the preacher. Doesn't God get glory through the worst of sinners becoming the best of saints? Got a fantastic text in this morning from my friend Mo Timbo, who lots of you will know about. 27 people getting baptized in Hull this weekend. You know, this guy was the worst of sinners. He was the drug dealer. He was the knife criminal. He was a nightmare. And don't you think God gets a lot of glory through that? What a prize. What an investment that we've able, bunch of us in this room, been able to invest in that man's life. Did anybody see this in Withenshaw World this week? We got that? Did you see this? Can we just look at the top? Just look at the top. Carefully delivered to 28,072 homes and businesses in Withenshaw. This is Jack. Yes, Jack. Come on, Jack's not the finished article, but neither am I. But Jack's a changed man, isn't he? 28,000 homes, and it's full on gospel witness. And Jack said, oh, Withenshaw World are going to include my testimony. Didn't realize it's going to be front page. Didn't realize it's going to be bulletproof Jack, who used to go around Withenshaw with a bulletproof vest and the living nightmare kid who was in and out of prison. And then Jesus steps in. Don't you love that? Don't you think God gets a lot of glory? Don't you think all sorts of broken people in Withenshaw are going to pick up Withenshaw World and say, that's Jack. Look at him now. Precious thing, isn't it? God gets a lot of glory, and it's our great prize, actually. And we combine the truth of the gospel with the power of conversion. And Paul went on to say this. They heard the report. This is verse 23. They heard the report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praised God because of me. As soon as they heard the report, they were like, come on, Paul's got saved. We need to join with them every time we see that sign of the kingdom. Interesting, isn't it? That Paul, straight after conversion, if you read his conversion in the book of Acts, it's all very fast. But actually, there's some brilliant little insights in Galatians as you dig in a bit closer that Paul, it looks like Acts 9, he's like, bosh, straight out there on the mission field. No, he retreated for 3 years, didn't he? To just process this thing. And just, you know, he was a theologian. He'd been studying the ancient scriptures for all this time, and what has happened here? Just what's happened? Jesus pulled him into anonymity, didn't he? Before he thrust him out. He'd been told he was Jesus' chosen instrument, immediately followed by 3 years obscurity. Basically, I wanted to say to impatient young people, that sounds a bit of an old fella, doesn't it? But impatient, you know, you are, most of you are younger than me anyway. And most of you are impatient. And most of you have grown up in entitlement culture where we've got to have it all and we've got to have it now. There's an expectation that things will happen quickly in my life. Don't despise not being used. And like, you know, I'm guessing if most of our rappers and ministers said, you know, God's going to give you the opportunity to be the next Lecrae and you're going to preach the gospel and you're going to be number one all over the world, you'd be like, where do I sign? Or you evangelists, if you're going to be the Billy Graham for this generation, you're going to preach to more people than any man who's ever lived, I'd be like, God, I'm in, come on. But don't despise not being used for a season. Don't despise the hard work of study and character formation that even after his moment, even after his commission, Paul had to give into. Don't despise the pruning that comes before the explosion of growth. And you know, I am no Paul, right? So hear what I'm saying. But age 19, I had my own kind of amazing, you know, I'd made some little commitment. I hadn't when I was 12, but I hadn't really lived it. Age 19, I came back to Christ with a bang. And there was a move of God in Cheadle and Cheadle Hume, and our little youth group of 11 people grew to 200, like really fast, the largest Anglican youth group in the UK at that time. And missionaries have been sent off all around the world from that little youth group. It was an absolute move of God. Poured out his spirit, amazing. And I was riding the wave, and all I wanted to do was full-time ministry. All I wanted to do was evangelism. I went to visit all sorts of mission agencies, even looked into Anglican ministry. Can you imagine how bad that would have been? But nobody wanted me. And you know, for 13 years, I ended up making belts and braces and bum bags and selling them to chain stores. And I was kind of on the shelf. And during this time, I'm having these amazing prophetic words from these aged saints about how much God's going to use me. And I'm like, you know, I'm just running the youth group, just a youth leader in this church. And yet, I'm so glad I had those 13 years. I've in some ways being on the shelf. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some ways, just getting on with it. Faithfully building a business. I learned so much through that. Faithfully serving in the context of a local church. And then it's time, you know, it's time for a bigger profile, greater open doors. You know, to wait till I was 32. And sometimes, you know, you just, and you know, because I was a lot more stupid than Paul. 3 years Paul was ready. It took 13 years before I think there was some stuff needed to be worked out. And I'm still this clown who's regularly man-pleaser, number one. So don't despise not being used. Don't despise study and character formation. If you want to be used, work on that stuff. Get into the Word. Work on your spiritual disciplines. Don't expect everyone else to do it for you. You do it. You make the effort. You're not going to win gold medals by watching whoever it is, Mo Farah, not Mohammed Timbo. You're not going to win gold medals by watching him. You're going to win them by getting out on the training pitch like he does at 5 o'clock in the morning, aren't you? No matter how good he is, no matter how much of a gift he is, unless you do the work behind the scenes, and when the time's ready, you can win the trophies. At the right time, God can lift you up and open the doors and accelerate things for his glory and for your good. You see, we've got an amazing gospel. It's a gospel of free grace. It works. There's nothing like it on the earth. Changes everything. And we need to get passionate about it. See, this book is unlike any other book ever written. It's the living Bible. It's alive. We read it. It changes our heart. These words, this gospel, as we understand it, we're ready and equipped to be the people God wants us to be in this generation. I'm not saying we're all meant to be leading big ministries, but we are all meant to be making a mark in our generation. And as we faithfully serve behind the scenes, We'll find these seasons come when it's acceleration time. It's open door time. It's favor time. Do you like the sound of it? Let's stand together then. Come on. So, Lord, can we just ask this morning that we will be more faithful than ever to your gospel? We will honor you. Our heart will be to honor you, to be approved by you, God, not by any men. Lord, I pray you'll show us what that looks like as a ministry, approved by God, the stamp and the seal from heaven, the only one that counts. And I pray as a result, Lord, will you give us more and more spectacular salvation stories that can be shouted from the rooftops, that can be on the front page of the newspapers, that can result in churches being planted and men and women being baptized all over the earth, we pray, Lord. Yeah, for you, Lord. And we pray no man will get the glory for this, but Jesus will get the glory. You'll do something in such a way that only you can get the praise. So obviously, blatantly, here's a ministry, here's a charity that's run on godly principles, according to the stuff it says in the book. And that's all our responsibility. So we take that seriously, Lord. And we look to you, God. Yes, Jesus. Yes, God.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to check out message.org.uk to find out how you can support or even get involved with one of our teams.